Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now at 8, a plane burst into flames on the runway of Tokyo's Haneda Airport this morning. What we are learning about the passengers and that collision.
And it's a cold start this morning. Lots of sunshine, but with the wind chill, it feels like 25 in Southern Pines. It's 28 in Roxborough. I'll show you some more cold mornings ahead this week.
And starting today, several hospitals across the viewing area will implement new restrictions as flu cases are on the rise. We're breaking down the new policies you should know about.
We'd like to welcome the Aggies.
And North Carolina A&T making its debut at the Rose Bowl Parade. A look at how the marching machine impressed on the national stage. Boy, it was an impressive sight.
The granddaddy of them all. They're out there in one of the best parades ever.
Glad you're with us this morning here in the 8 o'clock hour on Fox 50. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Happy New Year to you and you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everything is going well here.
So far, so good.
Right? It's cold out there. January temperatures. What we expect, though, Elizabeth.
It is. It's on. Here we go. Winter is here. We take a live look at Zebulon this morning. Of course, their beautiful town hall here. The blue skies behind it and some, you know, winter-looking grass in front of it. 32 is our current temperature. And at least in the triangle, our winds have been fairly light this morning. But the wind chill is on the right, and it's been kicking up in some places. For example, it feels like 25 in Southern Pines. It feels like 30 in Fayetteville. The temperature's on the left and the wind chill on the right. But no wind in Clinton. It's 32. It does feel like 31 in Goldsboro and in Rocky Mount this morning. So it's a chilly start out there. We climb into the mid-40s by lunchtime, our high 51 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Looking at a couple of quiet days before we begin to see the chance of some showers. Could see some Wednesday night and a soaker in store for part of the weekend. I'll show you that coming up. Brian?
8:02 right now, Elizabeth, and we are watching those sun glare delays on the south side of Durham and also on 40 eastbound heading away from the airport back toward Cary and Raleigh. Here's a look at that live camera on 40 at 55. There on the south side of Durham. And you can see that eastbound traffic slowing down as you head around the curve back toward 885 from 55. We saw, if you were watching a few minutes ago, kind of a weird reading there about an 18-minute delay on 40 eastbound from 15501 to 885. I checked some other data. This looks much closer to normal with the 3-minute backup overall with those sun glare backups. Clears up a little bit, then you hit 540 and it slows down again around the airport exits. About a 4-minute delay overall from 540 out to Wade Avenue. If you can pick up 40 eastbound from Harrison Avenue, you'll be on the other side of those sun glare delays. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, picking up a little bit of a backup right now on 87 southbound, right around Hodge Road in Knightdale, working to find out exactly what's causing that. A new crash reported in the past few minutes in RTP there on the southeast side of Durham, on the southbound side of Miami Boulevard at TW Alexander Drive, with some pretty big backups starting to show up on the sensors in that area. And we still have that minor crash over in Hillsboro on 70 at the 70 bypass. No big delays right now, but look out for police activity on the side of the road.
Well, following some breaking news now, the bodies of 5 crew members have been found on a Coast Guard plane involved in a fiery crash at an airport in Tokyo. Dramatic video shows the moment a Japan Airlines jet collided with that Japanese Coast Guard aircraft and burst into flames. This happened at Haneda Airport this morning. The Japanese Coast Guard says the pilot made it out safely and is in critical condition at a hospital. All 367 passengers and 12 crew members on board the Japan Airlines plane were safely evacuated. The cause of the crash is under investigation.
One person is dead after a shooting in Fayetteville. Police are searching for that shooter. This happened on Harris Street around 5 o'clock yesterday evening. The WRL breaking news tracker was on the scene as police investigated. Investigators say it was a ShotSpotter notification that tipped them off. And when they got there, they found David Page Jr. dead in the backyard. We'll keep continuing to cover this and update you as police search for that shooter.
Today, Raleigh leaders are expected to pass a new noise ordinance. It would change the standard for how noises are considered a nuisance. It also increases the fine for violations. Just last month, City Council approved a new nightlife ordinance. That will go into effect February 3rd. We'll let you know about any changes made at today's meeting.
Starting today, new restrictions for visitors at hospitals in the area to help stop the spread of illness. CDC says the week before Christmas, 34,000 people in the U.S. were hospitalized with COVID, the flu, or RSV. WRL's Laura Levine joins us live from Wake Med in Raleigh. And Laura, these new restrictions are to help protect the most vulnerable people out there.
They are, Jeff. Good morning. And many people may have already noticed required masking already making a comeback at some hospitals. Wig Med here behind me is just one of many that will implement new restrictions starting today to help protect the most vulnerable. We're talking about young people, especially from flu, COVID and RSV. Now, beginning today here at Wig Med, visitors in all hospital patient care areas, including waiting rooms, must be at least 12 years old. Similar restrictions go into place for UNC Hospitals Chapel Hill, Hillsboro, and Youth Behavioral Health campuses. Visitors 11 and younger are prohibited from all inpatient areas and waiting rooms. And this comes as more patients in North Carolina hospitals are being treated for flu than COVID-19 for the first time since the start of the pandemic. We spoke with Dr. David Weber from UNC about the latest steps to stop the spread among children.
It's not necessarily easy to tell when a young child is ill because they can't verbalize things such as feeling poorly, fever, and others. So that is one reason. Two, children, of course, they also have higher viral loads so that they are more contagious than older individuals.
And starting tomorrow, Duke hospitals will also be implementing some very similar restrictions, also only allowing two visitors per patient. It's important to mention that Dr. Weber also says that the flu typically peaks in mid-January and February, but right now there is no signs right now that these cases will be slowing down at all. We are also wanting to mention that when it comes to those new restrictions, there are some exceptions, such as if there is a patient that is dying. Laura Levine, WRE News. We're live in Raleigh.
Well, happening today, the State Board of Elections will nominate presidential primary candidates for this year's elections. Political parties will provide a list of candidates to the board. The board will then prepare a list for the candidates submitted. The board may also vote to nominate a candidate if it finds that candidate is recognized in North Carolina or national media. That meeting begins at 11 o'clock this morning and can be joined remotely. This comes as former President Trump's legal team is expected to appeal the decisions that removed him from primary ballots in Colorado and Maine. That appeal could be filed as soon as today. The decisions to take Trump off the ballot are based on the 14th Amendment. It says officials who have, quote, engaged in insurrection are disqualified from holding office.
Tampa Bay Rays shortstop Wander Franco has been arrested in the Dominican Republic amid an investigation into allegations of inappropriate relationships with minors. The 22-year-old was arrested just days after he failed to appear for a meeting with a prosecutor. Franco used to play for the Durham Bulls. He was promoted to the big leagues in 2021. He was placed on administrative leave in August as Major League Baseball investigated his alleged relationships with underage girls. At least two people have filed legal action against the baseball player.
We're working to learn the names of the people involved in a deadly crash on I-95 in Nash County. It happened around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. We know two people were hurt and a young man died. All three victims are related. We're told it was a single vehicle crash and the driver hit a tree near the town of Dorchester on North Halifax Road.
Loved ones of an 82nd Airborne pilot badly injured in a drone strike in Iraq are asking for your prayers. This is Garrett Illerbrunn. He lives in Pinehurst with his wife and son. The drone attack happened on Christmas Day while Illerbrunn was at an airbase in northern Iraq. He is now in a hospital in Germany. A close friend of the family told WREL he has a severe head injury and is still unconscious, but he's making progress. A GoFundMe account is raising money to help the family give their son Tucker a treehouse Illerbrunn had arranged and to help outfit their home with the proper supports he'll need when he comes home.
We're basically just going off of prayers and positive energy at this point that he can get reunited with his son, be there to raise him, be there with his wife. They're wonderful people. So if all you can do is pray, we would appreciate that. Anything you can give on the GoFundMe would help them.
The Iran-backed attack that critically injured Illerbrunn and two other servicemen prompted President Joe Biden to order retaliatory strikes targeting affiliated groups. A link to the GoFundMe page is in this story on WRL.com.
Well, back at home, Durham city leaders are working to address homelessness in the city this year. At today's city council meeting, leaders are looking to allocate funding for various homeless services. The city manager is asking for authorization to help provide rehousing services, funding for emergency shelters, and permanent supportive housing. That meeting gets underway at 7 tonight. Well, time now, 8:09. Recovery efforts press on in Japan after a deadly earthquake and powerful aftershocks. A look at the destruction coming up.
And it's a cold start this morning, but there's a lot of sunshine in our forecast for the next several days. The big weather maker of the week comes on Saturday. Looks like it could be a soaker. I'll go over the timeline and show you how much rain we can see.
Now, as you look live at Carolina Beach, a beautiful sunrise on the horizon looks rather welcoming, but anyone who wants to walk on the beach right now really needs to bundle up. And for that matter, you're going outside around here, you got to bundle up. Let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WSB Weather Center, tracking our day for us.
It's pretty all across the state right now. We were just watching some of the snowmaking that's happening in the mountains right now. They're having a really good start to the season. But beautiful blue skies around here. Goldsboro looking gorgeous. Apex pretty this morning. Chapel Hill courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And of course, there's our newsroom in Fayetteville there on Hay Street. The number in the blue box is the actual temperature, and the number in white here is the wind chill. So it feels like 25 in Southern Pines, 30 in Fayetteville. It feels like 31 in Goldsboro and in Rocky Mount. It's 28 right now in Roxborough and 32 in the Triangle. Tomorrow morning's likely to be colder, but may not be quite as breezy. It's not like we're seeing a lot of wind out there, but there are a few spots where it definitely feels colder than it really is. Our significant system coming our way this weekend arrives early Saturday morning. As it moves across the country, it is likely to bring some snow and some freezing rain most likely. So it could cause some travel problems. It hasn't begun to develop just yet, but by the time we get to, say, Thursday into Friday, there may be some travel problems across the country. And definitely, as it moves up the East Coast, it is likely to produce some problems up into the Northeast with a good bit of snow. Here, we'll likely see some rain. We may end up with some winter weather across parts of the mountains. And even the western part of the state could see some freezing rain. We're not very likely to see that here. And of course, everything looks quiet at the moment. We do have a system that's going to swing up the coast on Wednesday night. This rain will likely happen while the bulk of us are asleep, so this is not going to be a big deal. Minimal amounts of precipitation with this, and it all looks like it will be rain. Could be a few sprinkles south and east of the Triangle on Thursday morning. But this is our big system that will head our way. We take a look at that as we push it off through time, and we're looking at the arrival of that early on Saturday morning. Temperatures may be cold at that point. There could be a few spots, especially Durham north and west, where it begins briefly as some freezing rain, some light accumulation, and we should not have any impacts from that. Looking at some heavy rain, what we could see is the potential for some flooding. We've had several systems like this come through, and now we're starting to see the reservoirs climbing, the rivers are a little higher, so up to 2 inches of rainfall could cause some minor flooding. How about a chance of snow in the mountains? Yeah, we got a 96% chance of an inch of snow, but for our viewing area, it is almost zero, but you can see that red shaded area all up through Pennsylvania, New York, and into the Northeast, where we are likely to have some measurable snow. For us, looking at temperatures, pretty much holding in the low to mid 50s for the remainder of the week. Saturday is going to be a cool day with a high of 50, looking at rain pretty much all day, but Sunday looks salvageable with some sunshine and a high of 51. Brian?
It is 8:16 right now. Just in, a report of a crash on I-87 right around Hodge Road there in Knightdale. We are seeing some delays on that southbound side as you head away from 540 back toward Hodge Road. Not showing up right now on the sensors, but we're going to get an update of that in the next few minutes, and probably we're going to see a little bit of a backup there as you head back toward Raleigh. Need to keep that in mind. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll take a look and see if any alternate routes will save you any time this morning. Looks like they have cleared that earlier crash from Miami Boulevard at TW Alexander Drive there in Durham in the RTP area, but it looks like we still have this crash over on the east side of Hillsboro at 70 at the 70 bypass. I haven't seen any delays with this crash this morning. Looks like it's pretty minor. Still, you may see some first responders out there, especially on the side of the road, and you could run into some delays through there. And a reminder with North Carolina's move over law to give them at least one lane of room. Scoot over one lane if you're heading around those flashing lights. Around the rest of the triangle, still looking at pretty light traffic volume overall. No trouble on 540. And the sun angle now has changed just enough that we're seeing the sun glare delays easing as you head eastbound on I-40 from the airport back toward Raleigh. And it's also looking a lot better there on the south side of Durham.
The death toll keeps climbing in Japan after a series of powerful earthquakes struck the island country New Year's Day. The death toll right now is at 48 people confirmed dead. Officials say they're not wasting time as search and rescue missions have ramped up. Buildings, homes, and businesses are damaged, and power is out for thousands of people. Experts say powerful and unpredictable aftershocks could last for months. The risk for tsunamis is now over, but deadly waves could still come.
During the winter season, Christmas trees, space heaters, and kitchen fires are common calls firefighters get. These instances can lead to scenes like this fire at a town home in Raleigh. Well, these fires force families to evacuate. Sometimes the people trying to escape are left with severe burns. A local man is using his survival story to educate others on how to get past a horrific tragedy like a fire. Back in 1998, Chris White suffered third-degree burns after a propane explosion in his family's garage.
The most difficult part of recovery, wondering what it's going to be like when you are there. Like, okay, what are people going to think about me? Like, do I look the same? Am I going to walk the same, talk the same? Am I going to be able to do everything I could before?
Now White has his foundation through UNC Chapel Hill J.C. Burn Center, where he's working to raise funds to get more burn victims the counseling they need. For information on how to help Chris White raise money for burn survivors, visit WREL.com.
A section of our Raleigh Greenway Trail will close for over 2 weeks starting tomorrow. That closure is along the Neuse River Trail. It is part of the Crabtree Interceptor Project, which will repair a sewer pipe in the area. The section of the trail closes tomorrow through January 19th, and there's no detour available for this closure. It's a new year, and that means new laws are in effect across the country. A dozen states are now banning ghost guns, including Colorado and California. The law prohibits firearms assembled at home or made with 3D printers without serial numbers. The minimum wage also rose in two dozen states, including New York City and Washington, D.C. 2024 also brings new health care laws. In California, doctors who mail abortion pills to patients in other states will now be protected from prosecution. The outlook for the Triangle's housing market in 2024 is improving after sales slumped when mortgage rates soared in the second half of last year. Through November, the number of closed sales in the Triangle MLS was down 15% from the year before. Realtors say now is the time to snap up a home for sale because they are already seeing signs of a rebound and more competition from buyers as those mortgage rates drop.
Well, January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and research shows late-stage cervical cancer appears to be on the rise. Dr. Robert DiBernardo with Cleveland Clinic says that could be due in part to the pandemic and the change in guidelines for pap smears. Women now only need to get them done every 3 years and in some cases every 5 years. Early stages of cervical cancer don't usually involve symptoms and can be hard to detect, making a routine pap smear extremely important. Dr. DiBernardo says cervical cancer is preventable and is often the result of the virus HPV or sexually transmitted infection, so testing for that is equally as important. The same goes for the HPV vaccine. Both men and women between the ages of 11 and 45 years old are eligible to get that vaccine.
We developed a vaccine years ago, there's several on the market, that are extremely effective at preventing cancer. In Australia, where uptake of vaccines are high, they're seeing a decrease in the amount of cervix cancer in that country.
According to the CDC, roughly 13,000 new cases of cervical cancer are diagnosed every year in the U.S., in addition to 4,000 deaths.
At least one thing is the same in 2024 as it has been in previous years. Taylor Swift is still making Billboard chart history. David Daniel has that and other stories in today's Hollywood Minute.
Taylor Swift's latest record is impressive even for her. She's the first act ever to hold the first four spots on Billboard's top album sales chart at the same time since the chart debuted more than 30 years ago. 1989 Taylor's version leads the way, followed by three previous number ones, Midnight's, Lover, and Speak Now Taylor's version. Two other Swift albums, Folklore and Fearless Taylor's version, are also in the chart's top 10.
Our pitch to the world was that we were going to create a debit card where you'd be able to spend your cryptocurrency in real time.
It's an electronic money.
Something about bitcoins or something.
I was all about CentroTech. I was like, look at this. This makes sense.
Just watching something become extremely valuable, it's like a drug.
But it was all a scam. BitCon looks at how CentroTech rode the get-rich-quick frenzy of the Bitcoin boom to millions of dollars before the fraud came crashing down. The documentary is now streaming on Netflix. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
Doctors at UNC Children's Hospital are dancing their way into the new year with a new music video.
Yeah, the team at the Chapel Hill Hospital hoping to spread a little cheer while thanking doctors and staff who work tirelessly for patients and their families. The video was also a farewell for Dr. Gold, who you saw there doing the dirty dancing lift.
My personal trainer has helped me work on my core strength over the last year so we could do the lift. And we had to do the lift, right?
Yeah, that chuckle from Dr. Gold.
Yeah,
he's retiring after 35 years of treating young cancer patients. Well, time now, 8:23, coming up, developing news out of South Korea. What we've learned about the latest attack on a political leader there just months ahead of the general elections.
Plus, Snoop Dogg has a new gig tied to the world of sports. His role in the 2024 Olympics, still ahead.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning at 8:26. I'm Ken Smith. Hope you're having a good morning. We've got some bumper-to-bumper traffic on one of our major thoroughfares. Let's get over to Brian Schrader with this traffic alert.
Some new information about this crash on the Knightdale Bypass at the Neuse River Bridge. It's not affecting traffic on the southbound side, only on the northbound side. So traffic heading away from Raleigh back toward Knightdale. See where EMS is arriving on the scene here. We have those two left lanes blocked on 87 northbound right now at the Neuse River Bridge. A 10-minute delay showing up on the sensors. You can see with that live update, it just jumped up to an 11-minute delay. If you're trying to get around that area, try to pick up Pool Road. Take that out to Hodge Road, and then from there you can rejoin 87 northbound on the other side of that crash, Elizabeth.
It's a nice day out there. We take a live look at Apex and you can see all that beautiful blue sky. We're looking at a sunny day all day long, but it's starting on the cool side and it's been breezy in a few spots. We're sitting at freezing in the triangle. The temperature is in the blue box on the left and the wind chill on the right. It feels like 25 in Southern Pines, feels like 30 in Fayetteville, feels like 31 in Rocky Mount, Wilson, and in Goldsboro. So heading out the door, grabbing that coat, and you'll probably keep it with you all day long. If you're headed out for exercise, you're looking at mid-40s at lunchtime, a high of 51 around 3 o'clock. But this evening, temperatures will drop into the 40s pretty quickly.
Police are searching for the shooter responsible for killing someone in Fayetteville. It happened on Harris Street Monday. Investigators arrived to find David Page Jr. dead in a backyard. We will continue to update this story as new information comes in. Happening today, Raleigh leaders are expected to pass a new noise ordinance. It will change the standard for how noises are considered a nuisance. It also increases the fine for violations. We will let you know about any changes made at today's meeting. Up next on Today, rounding up the wellness trends for the new year, and more local news continues on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news, five people are dead and more than a dozen are hurt after two planes collided in Japan. We'll have the latest from the Live Center.
And I'm following breaking news right now on the Knightdale Bypass with the crash creating some pretty big delays. I'll show you the alternate route and save you some time this morning.
And a little bit of a wind chill. It feels like anywhere from the mid-20s to low 30s. I'll show you some more cold mornings we have in our forecast this week.
Raleigh City Council will meet later today about approving a new noise ordinance. Coming up, how this could impact nightlife downtown.
We bring you inside our WRAL studio here, 8:30 on your Tuesday morning. Happy New Year to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Ken Smith. Let's go ahead and get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WRAL Severe Weather Center, tracking our chilly morning for us.
I take a live look here at Warrenton. Lovely blue sky here. We're looking at these temperatures turning much colder this morning for us. Temperature 32 degrees in the Triangle area. We're looking at a little bit of a breeze in some places. So we have a wind chill in spots. The wind chill is in the white box on the right. Fayetteville feeling like 30 degrees right now. It feels like 25 in Southern Pines, 31 in Goldsboro, Rocky Mount. It's 32 in South Hill and it's 28 in Roxboro. But we'll have more widespread temperatures in the mid to upper 20s for tomorrow morning. Our afternoon afternoon temperatures are close to normal for this time of year. Mid-40s at lunchtime, low-50s at 3 o'clock. If you're going to be out and about after sunset, we're going to drop into the 40s pretty quickly. But, of course, it's our first full week of January. Coming up, we'll talk about what our normal temperatures are for the month. And Brian is here with a look at traffic.
Yes, indeed. Some breaking news right now on the Knightdale Bypass. A crash on the northbound side of I-87 right there at the Neuse River Bridge. You can see where they have the left and center lanes blocked and all of that traffic leaving New Hope Road heading out toward Hodge Road is squeezing by in that right lane. A 14-minute delay showing up right now on the live sensor readings from 440 out toward Knightdale Boulevard overall, and you can see with the live update it just jumped up to a 15-minute delay. Let's talk about the best alternate route if you're trying to get away from East Raleigh out toward Knightdale. Take Pool Road out to Hodge Road, and then from there you can rejoin 87 northbound on the other side of that crash and those heavy delays there. Something to note on this map, you see on the southbound side of 87 or heading away from Knightdale back toward the Beltline, traffic's just fine. We're not seeing any delays right now. Couldn't rule out an onlooker delay developing here in the next few minutes, but right now at least traffic's flowing freely between 540 and 440. If you're heading out to the car right now, listen to us on the radio at 99.3 FM in Wake County. We'll let you know how things are shaping up out there.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we continue to follow that breaking news out of Japan. Five people are dead and about 17 others are hurt after a passenger plane and a Japan Coast Guard plane collided at Haneda Airport. This is a live look right now at firefighters continuing to douse the plane with water. This morning, we are learning that 17 passengers that were on that Japan Airlines flight are hurt after that collision. The severity of their injuries is not known. Right now, the plane collided with a Japan Coast Guard plane. It landed on the runway and burst into flames. We're also learning that the five crew members on board the Japan Coast Guard flight were killed. The captain managed to get out of that plane, but the captain is in critical condition this morning. That Coast Guard plane was on the way to help with earthquake relief efforts.
One person is dead after a shooting in Fayetteville. Police are searching for that shooter. This happened on Harris Street around 5 p.m. yesterday. The WRL breaking news tracker was on the scene as police investigated, and they say it was a ShotSpotter notification that tipped them off. When they got there, they found David Page Jr. dead in the backyard. We'll continue to keep you updated as police search for that shooter.
Well, today, a new noise ordinance within Raleigh city limits could be approved that would change what noises are considered a nuisance. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joining us live from downtown now to explain how this all will work. Good morning, Kelsey.
Hey, Ken, good morning. The ordinance applies citywide, but it would obviously impact folks who live in the Glenwood South area. This particular part of Glenwood Avenue is really noisy at night. It's known for loud music and nightlife. But last month, the council approved a new process for permitting clubs and other nightlife venues. The city says they received over 100 comments, all offering feedback for a noise ordinance. The city attorney's office made some revisions, including adding higher fees, upping penalties by at least $150. Another change was removing the noise ordinance during permitted special events. Now the question becomes, how loud is too loud? The answer, well, it depends. There are different rules based on time of day and what type of noise is being created. So City Council should make a decision about this today at 1 o'clock. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
A 19-year-old man is facing charges in Charlotte in connection with a New Year's Eve shooting that injured five people. Davion Crawford is facing five felony counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. The shooting happened during a New Year's Eve celebration. Investigators say he shot into a crowd of people at a park in uptown Charlotte before midnight. All the victims are expected to recover. We have learned more about the motive in the shooting death of a Greensboro police officer. Sergeant Dale Nix, you see him here, according to court papers, an 18-year-old who was stealing beer, shot him and then sold the beer to buy drugs. Two others were also involved. People stopped by Greensboro Police Headquarters New Year's Day to pray and leave flowers and drop off cards for the officer's family. All three people involved in this have been arrested. Police tracked them down in Winston-Salem.
Well, starting today, changes are coming to hospital visitation policies in the Triangle. This comes as more patients in North Carolina hospitals are being treated for the flu rather than COVID-19. At Wake Med waiting rooms, visitors must be at least 12 years old. At UNC Health, visitors must be 11 years old, and masks are strongly recommended. Starting tomorrow, Duke Hospital is limiting visitors to two per patient at a time. Children under 12 aren't allowed to visit unless a provider gave them prior approval.
As the Israeli military says it is pulling thousands of troops out of Gaza, the U.S. is thinking about getting drawn further into the conflict in the Red Sea area. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning the war is expected to last many more months. Tensions are growing between Iran and the West, especially in the Red Sea. Over the weekend, Yemen-based Houthis, backed by Iran, tried to hijack a container ship and shot at U.S. Navy helicopters. U.S. forces sunk three Houthi boats, killing everyone on board. Now the U.S. must strike a balance between deterring those attacks and triggering a further war.
Today, Durham leaders will discuss spending more money to address high lead levels in public parks. Families still can't use portions of the parks because of the issues. We're talking about East End, East Durham, Walltown, Lyon, and Northgate Parks. The City Council wants to revise a contract to pay for more environmental testing. They will discuss the $97,000 price tag during today's meeting. We'll let you know what they decided.
And today, Raleigh City Council is expected to approve the purchase of the site that used to be the state DMV headquarters. That site is on Newbern Avenue and will cost the city more than $20 million. Today's meeting may give us a better idea how the city plans to redevelop that site. Leaders haven't announced final plans for the property, but they are considering affordable housing mixed in with other uses. That decision and discussion, anyway, gets underway at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, someone in Michigan waking up this morning a mega millionaire after winning the Powerball jackpot last night. The winning ticket matched all six numbers for the estimated $842.2 million jackpot. Powerball says this was the fifth largest Powerball jackpot and the 10th largest U.S. lottery jackpot ever won. One North Carolina ticket won $50,000 from last night's drawing. So check your tickets. Here are the numbers on your screen. 12, 21, 42, 44, 49. The Powerball is one. The multiplier was three.
8:38 right now. Recovery efforts continue in Japan after a deadly earthquake and powerful aftershocks. A look at the destruction coming up.
An inspirational story from right here in North Carolina. Coming up, we'll introduce you to this couple whose proposal video has won over the hearts of millions online.
And check it out, 8:42 right now. We'll take you down to the coast. Beautiful look at Beaufort right now. Sun is up. There are some clouds out there. And chill is in the air. We bring it back to the Triangle here. Certainly, we are getting that feel right now with the sunshine, but the cold temperatures. January-like. Elizabeth Gardner.
Definitely looks beautiful out there. This is a live look at Warrenton. You can see those beautiful blue skies there, but temperatures are chilly in the Triangle. It is 32 degrees. Our dew point's way down at 24, so it's a dry air mass right now. That's why we're seeing that deep blue sky. By lunchtime, 45, and we'll hit 51 mid-afternoon. And then once we hit sunset, those temperatures are going to drop into the 40s quickly, and we have a colder morning in store for tomorrow. Here's the difference. This morning, we're looking at a wind chill. The temperature is here in the blue box, and the wind chill is on the right in the white box, so it feels like 25 in Southern Pines. It feels like 32 in Durham and Raleigh, where there is no wind. It feels like 30 in Fayetteville and Clinton. It feels like 31 in Goldsboro and Rocky Mount. It feels like 32 in South Hill. But our temperatures tomorrow will actually be most likely in the mid-20s to around 30, so it'll be colder, but we're less likely to have a wind chill to go along with it. So actual temperatures, 29 in Southern Pines, 36 Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, 35 in South Hill. Around town, 51 in Raleigh and Durham, 53 degrees in Fayetteville. That's pretty close to normal. We'll have winds coming out of the northwest at about 7 to 8 miles per hour up until around the middle of the afternoon. And then those winds start to back off just a little bit. Colder than normal temperatures will be with us for the bulk of the week. It's not going to be a big departure from normal, just a couple of degrees below normal for us. But we don't have any warmth really headed our way because normal temperatures this time of year are pretty chilly. So those blue color contours are below normal. The yellows and the reds are above normal. We don't see that this week. Our normal low is 32. Tomorrow morning, 29. 29. We're up above freezing on Thursday, but back into the 20s Friday and Saturday morning. Saturday morning is going to be interesting. We will drop below freezing, and we have precipitation that'll come in, a big low-pressure system that'll dump a lot of rain. Temperatures are likely to climb above freezing before the precipitation starts, but if it comes in a little bit earlier, there could be some light freezing rain, especially in our northwestern counties. Right now, it doesn't look like there would be any impact from that, but it's just something that we'll be watching with the timing of that system. 52 is our normal high. We'll see 51 today, 55 Wednesday, and then close to 50 getting into the weekend. What does January typically look like? January is one of those months, you know, in the fall, you know, it's warmer at the beginning of the month and colder at the end of the month, and now that will start to reverse. But January, pretty much steady. Our normal low is 31 to 32. Our normal high is 50 to 52 from the beginning of the month to the end of the month. That said, we tend to see a lot of ups and downs with our temperatures during the winter because of different frontal systems that come through. Now, this week is kind of an exception. We'll see temperatures anywhere from 49 to 55, so that's not a huge range. We'll see some cold mornings in the 20s and into the low 30s. And then Saturday, we're going to see a soaker of a system. Could see as much as 2 inches of rain, Brian.
It is 8:45 right now. Still watching this crash on the northbound side of I-87 at the Neuse River Bridge between Raleigh and Knightdale. We still have those left lanes blocked there. All of that traffic getting by in just that one right lane. We're still watching those sensor readings now. Seems like every time we show this on television, it increases another minute there with the delay. We're now up to a 16-minute delay overall on northbound 87 from 440 heading out toward Knightdale Boulevard. I want to zoom into that area, show you where those delays begin. As soon as you hit the New Hope Road interchange, you're going to start to see those backups there heading out toward Hodge Road. But if you take Pool Road, which roughly parallels 87, take that out to Hodge Road, hang a left, and then head back up to 87, you can pick up the northbound side on the other side of those delays. This is not affecting traffic on southbound 87, so that ride from Knightdale and 540 back toward the Beltline in Raleigh is looking okay.
In California, an investigation is underway after the shooting death of a 10-year-old boy who authorities say was shot and killed by another 10-year-old boy. The Sacramento Sheriff's Office says K.J. Frierson was shot and killed by another child. Saturday afternoon, authorities say the child who shot K.J. was told by his father to grab cigarettes from the car. Instead, they say the boy grabbed his dad's gun, bragging that he had it before taking aim at K.J. and pulling the trigger. KJ was found bleeding from his head and neck. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. His family's grief is heart-wrenching.
He didn't deserve this. He still had a whole life to live.
Y'all allowed y'all's son to do this to my 10-year-old nephew.
Officials say the gun was reported stolen in 2017. After the shooting, the boy's father, 53-year-old Arquette Davis, apparently tried to get rid of the firearm by throwing it in the trash. Davis was arrested on possession of a firearm by a felon and child endangerment. He's being held on $500,000 bail. His 10-year-old son was arrested on suspicion of murder and was detained at a youth detention facility.
Duke and several other schools reached a multi-million dollar settlement for working together to limit financial aid to students. Now the school is suing two of its insurers for refusing to pay their share of the settlement money. Duke was among a group of schools sued 2 years ago for inflating tuition for students who received financial aid. The school has insurance policies to pay part of the $13 million settlement, but so far the insurers disagree over whether the policies cover antitrust settlements.
48 people are dead after a powerful earthquake struck Japan on New Year's Day, and now experts warn dangerous aftershocks could last months. Amy Kiley explains how the situation could get even worse before it gets better.
The word going forward is to be cautious and be ready to evacuate again.
The death toll is climbing and dozens are injured after yesterday's earthquake on Japan's west coast. Experts say the situation is still perilous.
Overconfidence is one danger. It's almost impossible to predict exactly how many aftershocks there are going to be and when.
For an earthquake of this size, about a magnitude 7.5, we would indeed expect the aftershock sequence to go on for days, weeks, even months.
Those warnings come amid the continued search for people trapped in the rubble.
Bodies are still being recovered from the rubble, and the accident is not over.
The good news is the immediate risk of tsunamis is over, and
there was a nuclear power plant there. It was shut down before the earthquake took place.
That's a relief, since a 2011 earthquake and tsunami caused a meltdown at the Fukushima nuclear plant. But it's a relief that could be short-lived.
There is a small chance, but a non-zero chance, that we might actually see an earthquake larger than that initial shock.
I'm Amy Kiley reporting.
Well, the growing immigration crisis shows no sign of abating in this new year. The numbers at the southern border have been staggering in recent weeks. And as Doug Lozada reports, Congress is still searching for an elusive compromise.
December's numbers from the border are in, and they are shocking. More than 300,000 so-called migrant encounters since the first of the month. That's the equivalent of the population of Pittsburgh streaming across the border. Republicans are accusing President Biden of not doing enough. He wants more border funding. And there is a growing bipartisan chorus in Congress calling for action.
I believe most of America believes in legal immigration, but what we're seeing is not that. This is chaos.
It's the pull factor. You got to have detention and deportation.
Adding to the pull factors, a new policy in California to offer all illegal immigrants free health care, costing the state more than $3 billion a year.
We have a border crisis at the southern border and, quite frankly, at the northern border, and they're basically ringing the dinner bell for people to come.
Texas, overwhelmed by the arrivals, is sending immigrants to sanctuary cities, including Chicago, where the mayor has had enough.
Well, what we have is clearly an international and federal crisis that local governments are being asked to subsidize, and this is unsustainable.
And that was Doug Lozada reporting. Now, on Capitol Hill, border funding is being tied to aid for Israel and Ukraine with no resolution in sight.
Heads up, before you hit the road, it'll now cost more money to take the Triangle Expressway. The state has increased the toll to travel the full length of the expressway by 14 cents, so it's up to $3.94. This applies to drivers with an NZ Quick Pass and a transponder. Toll revenue is used for the facility operations and maintenance and to pay off bonds used to fund the construction of the highway.
Snoop Dogg putting aside his rapping prowess and putting on a new hat. The hip-hop legend joining NBC's coverage of the 2024 Paris Olympic Games this summer. He'll provide regular reports of the Olympics primetime show and on Peacock. In 2021, Snoop Dogg joined Kevin Hart on the Peacock Network for commentary during the Tokyo Games. NBC's coverage of the 2024 Olympics from Paris, scheduled for July 26th to August 11th. You can watch all the action on WREL. Well, a North Carolina couple's proposal video circulating on the internet, and now the two are inspiring millions.
Oh my God. You're beautiful, kind, friendly. You always make me laugh. You always make me a better self. I want to continue this journey with you, even though it may take us longer to achieve our dream. Will you give me the greatest honor of marrying me?
Oh my God. Yes, baby.
See, your mom had to say, hey, say yes, say yes. Meet Matthew Schwab and Lucia Romano, who are taking the internet by storm with not only this video, but their story. The two met as teenagers, attending Holly Springs and Carver High Schools, going on their first date at 13. Matthew then asked Lucia to be his girlfriend at 15. And as you can see, the rest is history. Now, they both volunteer at Gigi's Playhouse, a resource of families with children with Down syndrome. And Matthew has even started his own advocacy platform, giving a TED Talk, as you saw right there. The two are still deciding on a wedding date. Congratulations to both of
them. Yeah, certainly. The Oakland Zoo in California put out a literal look back at 2023 with a compilation of some of its residents snacking through the year. Only they did it in reverse. They released a weird time warp of the wild and woolly wetting their whistles. And they say you can't move forward without looking back, right? But in this case, it's looking back with a snack. And they're putting them back.
That is such a funny and interesting way to do that.
Right.
Because, you know, it gets a lot of clicks, for sure.
No question. And the reverse thing is good. It's like they're giving back.
Brilliant. Love it. Well, before we head to a break, we're going to give you one more look at the North Carolina Education winning lottery numbers. And of course, we'll get another check on weather and traffic after the break.